हरि ओ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमविदविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 11. Govinda Bhashya, this is on okay. The subject of the mantra is not the jiva because the statements indicating this because of statements indicating the opposite. Okay. Raso vai saha rasam ye vayam labdvan andhi bhavati. The Lord is rasa. Attaining the Lord as rasa, the jiva becomes blissful. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. The subject of the mantra is not the jiva but the Lord. Since the above statement shows that the Anandamaya Lord described in the mantra endowed with rasa, who is to be attained by the jiva, is different from the jiva, receiver of the bliss, even in the liberated condition. So the idea is that even he's liberated, he's still, his bliss is coming from somewhere else. Right? There's some inherent bliss, but the volume of bliss that we're talking about is quite small. Right, so the point is this unlimited aspect, the unlimited aspect of bliss, that's coming from the Lord because we're not unlimited. So it's our connection to the Lord that generates, that is the cause of that feeling of unlimited happiness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even statements like Brahmaiva sun, Brahmapnoti, becoming Brahman, the jiva attains Brahman. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.6 do not show that the jiva becomes non-different from Brahman. But becoming Brahman, he attains Brahman. Because it doesn't say that he becomes one with Brahman. Point is when he comes to the platform where he understands, I am Brahman, I'm not this body, that's when things he becomes transcendental. Becoming Brahman, Brahmaiva San, means becoming like Brahman. So that means if you were working in the Japanese environment, Brahmaiva-san. Okay.
Very respectful.
Yes, very respectful. You who are like Brahman. That's better than the Narayana, than where you have become. Maybe that's where I can be our response when they go Narayan, you can go Brahmaiva San. that would probably freak him right out. Because of having attained qualities of Brahman, attaining that state of likeness, one then attains Brahman, Brahmapnoti. Thus it means to become like Brahman. Niranjanah param samyam upaiti. The pure soul attains a likeness to the Supreme Lord. Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.31. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya agata. Taking shelter of jnana, they attain similarity to me. Bhagavad Gita 4.2. The word eva in this verse means similar. The rule says that vava, yata, tata, eva, and eva mean similar. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28-40. The blazing fire is different from the flames, from the sparks, and from the smoke, although all are intimately connected because they are born from the same blazing wood. 3:28-41. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Parabrahman, is the seer. He is different from the jiva soul, or individual living entity, who is combined with the senses, the five elements, and consciousness. Footnote 9. Srila Prabhupada explains that this pair of verses, starting with the smoke analogy, encapsulates the doctrine of Achintabheda-Veda Tattva. A clear conception of the complete whole is given herewith. The living entity is different from the material elements, and the supreme living entity, the personality of Godhead, who is the creator of the material elements, is also different from the individual living entity. The philosophy is propounded by Lord Chaitanya's Achintabheda-Veda Tattva. Everything is simultaneously one with and different from everything else. The cosmic manifestation created by the Supreme Lord by his material energy is also simultaneously different and non-different from him. Living entities are compared to the sparks of a fire. The material energy is compared to the smoke. The fire is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana, it's said that whatever we can see or experience, either in the material or spiritual world, is an expansion of the different energies of the Supreme Lord. As fire distributes its light and heat from one place, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributes his different energies all over his creation. Does this continue on the next? Okay. All four principles of Vaishnava philosophy are based on the thesis of Sri Srimad Bhagavatam explained in these two verses. Oh, okay, so it means the Chatur Shloki, that aspect. That's what it means by the four. So, okay, so you're explaining, you have the Lord, the living entity, the spiritual world, the material world, right? Because there's the Lord and then the three prominent energies. So then this is the core element of then how that relation, how it's defined, what is the relationship of then Achintabheda-Veda Tattva. So how he is, but he's non-different. So he is everything. All that we value and everything that we see, that is him. But at the same time, is he's different from all that. So then the living entity trying to understand that in all time, places, and circumstances, how he is, but he isn't, then they attain to the transcendental position. Right. Yes?
Can we say that the Lord as Brahman and Paramatma is non-different and as Bhagavan different in this context?
It would hold true on all levels that he's same and different. Because Brahman, let's say, the building, then that is Brahman. But at the same time, it's different from Brahman. Because it's the material energy Brahman. And it's a particular aspect of the material energy Brahman. You know what I'm saying? So, because it's him, it would still have that same position of having those qualities. Though, you will see is that the aspect of Brahman and its difference will be much less than that of Bhagavan. You know what I'm saying? So it just becomes more. Yes, there's gradations. But it's still, he's different from. Like he's, like Paramatma's entered everything, but he's different from everything. You know, and it's just like, let's say, all the plants growing in the field, they're actually the field, but at the same time, the field is different from them. Right? Because they'll come, they'll go, but the field remains. Yes.
There are certain things which most people agree on that are good or nice or pleasant or and they usually have the superior quality or the qualities of Krishna that are described that Krishna has. Mm-hmm. So could we say that those things have more Bhagavan?
More Bhagavan.
Like, because there's a different, like everything is Brahman, but there's a difference, you know, there's in
this
qualities.
This is more Brahman.
That's what I'm trying to.
And then there's even more than that Brahman, and really a lot more than that Brahman. The thing is because it's dealing with qualities, then that's because the reason people do things is because of the qualities. But what's the goal of the qualities? That's then seen as that's coming from the Lord, because the qualities come from the Lord, but also that knowledge, skills, paraphernalia, you know, what they can do, that also comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
So much of the time, qualities are seen as an idyllic kind of thing, but the two go together. You can't separate. When you perform an activity, the qualities have to be there.
Yeah, well, I mean, the qualities and other things, anything that makes it...
Yes, but that's all Brahman.
Okay.
So it's not that it's more or less Brahman. That it's just that's the Prajumna aspect. While the other is that's existence, that's the Sankarshan aspect.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? That you can do something with it, that's the Vasudeva aspect, that you get a result from that or an experience, that's the Aniruddha.
Mm. I wasn't thinking it's more Brahman, I was thinking it's more Bhagavan, because it has the...
No, but I'm saying is these are all just, these are the same, these are just different aspects of Brahman in this case.
Okay.
You understand? It's the quality side of it. Because sambandha means you have the knowledge and you have the attitude or the qualities. Because when we say you should be nice, that's an attitude. You know, or determined, it's an attitude. So when Prabhupada opens with the importance of the proper attitude or proper spirit, that means you have to use these proper quality that go along with the knowledge.
Yeah.
So knowledge and quality go together.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's more Bhagavan. It's just that's how it works.
A different aspect of Brahman.
Yeah, because then that would be saying, so is Krishna's form is less Bhagavan than you know, his nice mood. You understand? So for him, there's all these things are non-different.
Okay.
It just means when it's generic, that's Brahman.
Yeah.
And when it's personal, that's Bhagavan.
Yeah.
That's all. That makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so this is downright, what we define as downright sick evil. Is that also coming from Bhagavan? In other words, is the propensity to become a serial killer, for example, is that also coming from Bhagavan?
So you mean they take boxes of Cheerios out into the driveway and drive their car over it many times, back and forth. So. That is evil. Now, you know, if it was, you know,
especially if it's raining.
Yeah, especially, yeah. But I mean, Cheerios, come on. Now, if it was shredded wheat, okay, I can understand. But, you have light. Darkness is just lack of light. So it's a negative potency. So then when it mentions the superior qualities, that represents the Lord. So these inferior qualities, they're just the lack of the superior. That's all. It's still the potency is coming from the Lord, but it's just lacking that. It's not that it's a separate thing. You know, in kind of the modern philosophies and religions, it's like evil is its own entity, but it's not. It's just lack of good. So this idea that the devil, you know, can function separately and God can't control him doesn't exist. It's that we just choose to go that way. You know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's not a separate entity, you know. You don't have, what do you call it, dark elves that can, what do you call it, create blackness, and therefore it overwhelms the light.
Of course, these are standard theistic questions, but then the question comes up, then why does God allow that kind of...
No, it's not a matter of allowing it, because that it's there, what's the problem? The problem is that we're interested in it. That's the problem. That it exists is, you know, that's just, if you have one, you have the other. Otherwise, how is one considered good? If you go into the shop and there is one box of cereal and that's all there is, how do you say it's good or bad? But when there's a variety, then you can say these ones are good, that one's bad. Right? Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the... Yes.
But that's not the only problem. Like, there is an actual problem because, for example, when the demons came out of Lord Brahma's behind, then they chased him.
No, I think it was from Krishna's behind.
Oh, okay.
But they went after Lord Brahma's behind.
Yeah, so it was a problem.
So it was all about behind.
He was not interested.
Yeah, but the point is, but where is Brahma?
On a lotus.
Yeah, and that lotus is situated where?
Here.
Here.
Okay.
Not there.
Okay.
So who made the choice to come here and not be there?
The lotus.
The lotus.
Yeah, the lotus. It's all about the lotus. Yeah.
Lotus's fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
He made the decision.
Yeah.
So he comes here. So you can expect it's going to be trouble. The point is we have to get used to the idea that the trouble that we're in is caused by us, not someone else. You know, others may be an instrument for us to gain what we're supposed to. You know, it's just like this. Let us say the doorbell rings, you go to the door, there's a guy at the door. He has a package. He says, here, sign here. You sign it. You take it inside. You open it. And there's $1 million. Okay? So now, you're going to say, you know, I got $1 million. Right? Does the delivery boy really have anything to do with it? No. Okay. But now, if the doorbell rings, we open the door, then, you know, there's some big burly guy out there and he punches us in the nose. Then what will we say? He punched us. You understand? So if it's good, we don't attribute it to other people. It's just ours. But if it's bad, it's everybody else. They're making the problem. I'm fine. Right? No flies on Jack. You understand? So that's the problem, is that we have this understanding that I'm fine. Everybody else has a problem. Rather than if I'm in the material world, that means I have a problem. And all my problems that I create for myself are going to come through other living entities. So if it's problems, I'm going to blame it on them. And if it's good things, I'm going to say I deserved it. Right? The boss gives you a raise. I deserved it. The boss, you know, moves you to another department you don't like, then he's the problem. You know, it's not that the boss is a great guy, he gave me a raise and like that, and I'm really, really indebted to him. No, I deserved it. But when it comes to the others, I don't deserve this. You understand? So at some point, that's why we see these great personalities like Jarabhart and that aren't disturbed by other people bothering them. Right? It's not that it's not an annoyance, but they don't blame it on those individuals that are performing the activity. They just know it's the modes of nature are arranging that. It happens to be these people are happy to take part. That doesn't mean they won't get a reaction for taking part, but that has nothing to do with us. If it wasn't them, it would have been someone else.
Yeah. But they do move on from that. He continued walking. He didn't stick around.
No, but listen to what is your point that you want to get at?
Yeah.
See, that's what you have to get at. Because as long as the living entity walks around with this chip on their shoulder, that's how long they stay here. You give up that chip, then you can go back to Godhead. But as long as your difficulties are always coming from someone else, and if they would get it together, then life would be so much easier. You will stay here. It's that simple. Because the point is it's an illusion. What does it matter? You know what I'm saying? It's not, means it exists, but it's not real. We created ourselves. You know? They're sitting in there. The kid goes into the attic. They get out, dig through everything. You know, first of all, they find their mom's old high-heeled shoes and a few things and walk around in that. And then out comes Barbie and Ken. And it's all happening. And there's weddings and this and that. And then they start fighting. And it's a whole thing. But is there any reality there? No, it's all created within the mind. So we say, oh, that's child's play. But the same thing's happening to the adults. But somehow or another, once you get bigger, then somehow or another everybody claims that, you know, now we're mature and great and this is not, and this is real, but what the kids are doing. I always remember, one thing always struck me is, I remember a few times, but one specific time, the adults sitting around and talking about affection. And about those who are teenagers, that the affection they felt for each other, you know, they, you know, different terms, puppy love, you know, crush, and that's not real. It's only when you're an adult, totally insanely attached, and, you know, you got to pay a mortgage, now that's love. But before that, it's not, you know. So then the problem is it's one can't tell what's real and what's not real. That's why the Bhagavatam points out it exists. It's there. But what our perception of it, that's not real. Because we attribute to it something in importance that it's not. Its importance is simply how it can be connected to the Lord. That makes it important. But these other things, even though they are existing, this person is bothering you, but its reality is not important, because it's only a reaction to something you've done in the past and now you're getting.
Right.
Yes.
But if you bother that person back, at least you feel something good.
Yes, but then, yeah, you feel good. But then the problem is along with material good comes material
evil.
Yes, so that means then they get an opportunity to bother you back. Hence, the cow with the man's head and the man with the cow's head, and they're having their little interaction. It just, that's all it does, and it keeps doing that as long as you maintain. So when you stop, that's when you stop the cycle. You have the opportunity that you could get them, and you don't. Then you've ended the cycle, because if you get them, then next life they can get you.
Do you end the cycle with them or on a larger scale?
You end the scale with yourself not being involved. That's what you get. Means it doesn't mean that they're not going to continue on whatever they're doing.
To other people.
You know what I'm saying? But the point is you're out of the loop. So that's generally the important part of the equation. Is when you're out of the loop, then you feel better. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is you have to, that aspect of goodness, that's just through the good qualities, you're coming up to that. That's the Brahminical standard. But that's technically not enough for the soul. That's the natural standard that he lives at, but it's not the standard. Now that's the biggest truck I've ever seen. I've never seen a pilot that high. Yeah. Yeah, no, also so far in the front, so far at the back. Does that make sense? Yes.
Using the logic of two things equal to a third are equal to each other, is it correct to say the living entities and material nature are simultaneously one and different?
That means that they're all part of Brahman. That's their oneness. But the qualities of the two kinds of Brahman are very different. So, because the jivas are conscious, while material energy is not. That's the point. Is it becomes, appears to act in a conscious way when the Lord enters it. That's why then we say Mahatattva. So what we see, that's Mahatattva. Because material energy, it just sits there. It doesn't do anything. So it's not... Yeah, it's not an important aspect.
So one as Brahman.
Yes, there's one as Brahman, but one is part and parcel. I mean, we are coming from the Lord. We're expanding from the Lord, so that way we're energy. Mm-hmm. So the energy, because the thing is that energy is all part of Swarup Shakti, which is one. So in other words, the Lord is one because there's him and his energy. But he's one. But the energy also has three main divisions, but it's all one. So we're just part of that division. Because if you're going to have, just like you're going to have day and you're going to have night, then what else do you require?
Sandhya.
So we're the Sandhya. So you have internal, so therefore there'll be external. And we're what's in the middle. So everything has that. Everything. Day, night, and then has that. Good, bad, and then there's kind of, you know, okay, wishy-washy, you know, like that.
Motamoti.
Yeah, motamoti.
So is the weakness in bringing out such a oneness and difference between living entity and material nature that it's removing the central point from the...
The point is it's Krishna.
Yeah.
That's why you can talk about, means Prabhupada, the acharyas will talk about good qualities, but if we emphasize the good qualities, we still miss the point.
Yes.
We're only discussing how to get from one's position to Krishna. And so the position we're in then requires certain qualities. That's why the renunciation, detachment, the knowledge. But just endeavoring for knowledge and detachment, and that's still a waste of time. You know, it may be a nicer waste of time because you're working with superior qualities, but still it's a waste of time unless you see its connection to Krishna. That's the crux that we're trying to get at. It means this, the Chintabheda Veda Tattva, is that it is one, but it is different. So we can say, but it's devotional service. It is, but it isn't. If it's engaged in the Lord's service, it is devotional service. But if it's not, it's not. So that's many times is that in a situation, then that's required. So then it is devotional service, but then we'll take another time and focus just on that and then say it's not. You know, it's like say, etiquette. So then you have to follow the etiquette in dealing with devotees. So, you know, etiquette's important. But if another time we're just following etiquette, but we're not remembering the Lord or understanding the nature of devotees, then it's not devotional. This is the whole thing. That's why Priyavrata, as a grihastha, as an emperor, is a paramahamsa. You know? And Daksha, doing so many nice things like that, is a materialist. You know, they're both functioning on the same platform of piety. Right? Means Priyavrata is dealing with his wife, he's having children, and he's still a paramahamsa. Right? So now we know that Daksha has tons of kids, so that must mean there's some proper interaction with his wife. Otherwise, why would there be so many kids? Right? So that means, but his end result is just to be pious, is just to be good, because the position, the respect, like when he walked into the assembly in the Daksha Yajna, the original one, then he is, you know, really effulgent and everything, because he is one of the sons of Brahma, so he's outshining everybody, and he's very much appreciating that, and it's proper etiquette. But when Lord Shiva, who's actually his senior, didn't respond due to being absorbed in meditation on the Lord, he becomes very offended. So it is about his prestige. Otherwise, he would just think it's Lord Shiva. It's like he does his own thing. What's the big deal? So that's the crux, is that the technique is, it means there's recommended techniques and non-recommended techniques. Then you have recommended qualities and non-recommended qualities. But the crux is that it always has to be in connection with the Lord. So, because we're used to qualities, that's the spiritual part. No, the spiritual part is actually the connection to Krishna. It's just the qualities are superior, ingredients. Like that. Could say. So, in other words, the quality is the higher, the technique or the skill is the lower. And, yes.
I just thought one interesting detail from the purport is in the fire analogy, they compare the material energy to smoke.
Hmm.
So that's significant because smoke's coming from the same source, but it's insubstantial. And it's also connected to what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Chaitanya Shikshamrita about the nature of the living entity.
Hmm.
Is that when it burns clean, the fire burns clean, there's no smoke at all. It's only when it becomes perverted or covered over that the nature of the fire is inhibited and then generates smoke.
Smoke.
So the consciousness of material
absorbs. So the smoke is the covering.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, very good point. Yeah, very nice point.
Smoke has the nature of darkness, not illuminating.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the fire is illuminating and the smoke's dark. No, that's why the Vedic examples are always so good. In other words, means any analogy will have some weakness because you're trying to compare material to spiritual. Mm-hmm. But the Vedic analogies have the least amount of trouble like that. And the maximum amount of, like what you're saying here, derivatives that you can get from it. Mm-hmm.
And the same with the spark, that it can ignite another fire, it has the same quality. But if it's disconnected from the fire, then it fizzles out.
Yes,
so that's
the
Tathasta position.
Yeah, and so, Tathasta, and then is it according to the spark's desire or according to what it lands on? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that desire may be there, but if you don't follow the laws of nature, then it doesn't get anything done. So that's why you have so many well-meaning individuals or groups who want to do something great, but because they don't actually follow the rules of nature, then they get no results. So it's like it's still all governed by the Lord. That's very nice. So that, like you said, the smoke is produced by the fire, but it's not the fire. It's like the flames and the spark are produced by the fire, but they're still different from the fire. Right? Does that make sense?
Going back to what you were saying previously, in answer to her question, we really should turn the other cheek, as Jesus said.
That's the recommendation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you have. That doesn't mean you have to stand out there and do. I mean, he's pointing it out in that extreme. But the point is you just don't get involved. You know, so you can just go away. But it has to be without
grudge.
Yes, it has to be without grudge. In other words, the cheek. It is talking about the ones connected to the face. You know, so we're not talking about a Maori turning the other cheek here. They gave, when the queen came, I think they gave her a 21 bum salute.
Classy.
Classy, right. Yeah, she just laughed, you know, because a bunch of aborigines, yeah, she just thought it was fun. But, yes, so that's the thing, is that it has to be without grudge. That's the thing. That we can, that the first stage may be is we may be annoyed, but we can at least pull back. That's a start. But it's only complete when it doesn't bother us.
When we leave this body.
Is there any value to pulling back if it really bothers the hell out of us?
Not necessarily, because you can think about it. Because the point is then there's no, there won't be any reactions on these other platforms of expression.
Yeah.
You know, there'll only be our own emotional platform, because that's where we're not pulling back, so we'll have a reaction there. But any verbal or physical, that we will, you know, that reaction won't be there. So we only have to deal with one out of three.
Okay.
Right? You know, so it's better.
Okay.
Like that.
Then how do you deal with number three? That's the question.
That you'd have to ask the, well, they're the Boos. They're the only ones that deal with number three.
Who?
That. Knowledge. So you can control the mind with knowledge. That's the whole point. So even though we're not using the intelligence connected with the senses, then we're using it in connection with, from the higher platform of what is the proper standard and everything based on authority. Like that. Then that can control the mind. So that's the advantage, because then it's something you can work out. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't say something to the person or these kind of things, but it has to be said without all the attachment and everything like that. So there can't be that sense of justice. It's a matter of what's there. So then we see is that if we come to that platform in actuality, then it's what would be the most Krishna conscious thing to do. So the problem is not how they're behaving, is the problem is the lack of Krishna consciousness. And so then if you're dealing on that level, then you don't get any of that emotional, you know, told you so or got you back satisfaction anyway. So therefore it goes into another category. So it's just something that has to go away. Right? So with knowledge, you can burn these things up. That's what it said. With the fire of knowledge, it burns up the wood of material consciousness. Like that. So when that material consciousness is gone, that fire is also gone. So there's just nothing on that platform. Like you're saying, Jarabhart, there's just nothing. You know, like that. Yeah. Is that okay? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.5. Thus, my dear Uddhava, in the same material body we find opposing characteristics, such as great happiness and misery. That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul, are within the body. I shall now speak to you about their different characteristics. By chance, two birds have made a nest together in the same tree. The two birds are friends and are of a similar nature. One of them, however, is eating the fruits of the tree, whereas the other does not eat the fruits, is in a superior position due to his potency. And so, because the Lord is there, that's why there's happiness. Because we're there, that's why there's misery. Yeah. That's the fun part about 11th canto. It's like really frank. You know? Means it's been said in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Kapila Gita, but in the conclusion that's given, you can see in the Uddhava Gita, it's just straight. All miseries come from us, all happiness comes from the Lord. So when we perform an activity that's according to the direction of the Lord, we become happy. When we don't, we become miserable. So, you know, who's making that decision? Right? So we're the one that does the things that make us miserable.
Prabhupada calls them poison fruits.
Poison fruits. Oh, okay. Poison fruits. Okay. Okay, so that's the thing. So as Krishna is in the body but not taking advantage of it, when we act in the same way, then we're on the same transcendental position as the Lord. Then we'll always be happy. That's the meaning of the ananda that's coming from Brahman. So the jiva, by being in contact with Brahman, experiences that ananda. That's the whole point. But it's coming from the Lord, not from us. That's the thing that has to be understood. Sutra 1.1.18. Kamachcha nanumana peksha. Kamat. Because of desire, cha also, na, not. Anumana, to the theory, apeksha, in relation. One cannot infer that Prakriti is the Anandamaya Purusha because the text states that this Purusha has desire. Sutra Prakashika. At this point, someone may raise the following objection, right? So, in other words, there's the point is you've cleared one doubt, but the mind is quite resourceful, right? You know, because of the four varnas, which one is the quality of resourcefulness? Kshatriyas. Kshatriya, generally when we think of Kshatriya, that means, what do they do that's different from others?
Fight.
Okay, so in other words, our mind, because it's fighting for its material desires, is very resourceful and comes up with all kinds of amazing things. So you clear one doubt, immediately then the next one comes. Right? So that's the dynamic. That's why you see in the Vedanta Sutra, when they're approaching the Panchanga Nyaya, then it has to be a constant flow. because you're just taking one after another after another after another. So therefore, the setup, it's the same thing, but because it's dealing with this constant within one adhikarana or between adhikaranas, that there's constant doubts. Therefore, then, you know, the language that's used is slightly different than Gotama's. Does that make sense? But it's just for dealing with this kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. Right? So as soon as you answer, well, immediately the next, you've concluded, so you've come through the whole Panchanganyaya process, but at the same time as another doubt's generated. So then, you know, that your final point that you make then becomes becomes the basis of the next doubt. You understand? So it's just back to back.
Original goes to Sambandha.
Yes. It just goes back. Like that. You know, like the om at the end of the sutra is the om at the next beginning of next sutra. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
But your prakriti is feminine, and it is saying that it is anandamaya purusha. So how can purusha and feminine, like, be? How is that, like, the doubting is so invalid in prakriti?
Because all the living entities in the material world are thinking they're purusha. It's just a matter of how they think they're purusha.
It is not the material nature. It is considered as over here as a jiva.
No, because it mentions that Purusha has desire. So then Prakriti here, you would expect that it's meaning the material energy. Mm-hmm. Because material energy is dead matter.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have desire. But the point is where does the jiva come from according to the impersonal philosophy?
From the Prakriti.
Yes. So therefore, since they said that the Anandamaya Purusha is the jiva, mm-hmm. now we've proven that it can't be the jiva, mm-hmm. so then within their philosophy, they still have one more option.
Okay.
That is Prakriti. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So that's the whole point, is that as you start to defeat the different points, then they'll clasp onto another point. Even though previously it may not have been so important, now it becomes important. You know, mm-hmm. just like you sit in the boat, and when the boat sinks, then maybe you just hold on to a plank from the boat. You know, like that. You know, still. So that's what they're doing.
Stubborn.
Yes, very stubborn. Very stubborn. Yeah, that's the thing. Because they want to be God, so it's like, you know, that's the whole. They're the closest to, you know, having the recognition that they're the God, so naturally you're going to hold on to it. Like that. You know, because the materialist knows he's not actually in control. You know, when things are going good, then he gets it, but when things don't, he does reflect and think, I'm not in control. Like that. But for the Mayavadis, then they really just think they're in control. It's just, the you know, doesn't matter. Just, it's...
They always have some hope against the hope.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Anyway.
So we have the original Mayavadis then?
Huh?
Hope against hope.
Yes. Well, that's why is that because we see things not in connection to the Lord, we think as the material energy is the actual source of everything. So technically, in that way, underlying, you could say Mayavad is the problem. You know, like that. So it's that's what I'm saying, is that these three states of consciousness, the living entity experiences through creation, maintenance, and destruction. So in the primary creative process, then they're on the Vasudeva platform. It's like Brahman. Then, when the secondary creation, then they're in the material consciousness of enjoyer and all that. Then, when everything winds back up in the Lord, then they're in that state of nothingness. Right? So, that's, you know, so what is it? Attachment, envy, and anger. So, these three are constantly what they're cycling through. You know, so spiritual is different. So, we have to become used to that because we're not used to that concept. We're not used to the concept that of what is happiness, what is that? Yeah. Sutta Bhakashika. At this point, someone may raise the following objection. Is it not so that the pradhan feature of the mode of material goodness, sattva-guna, is the actual origin of the anandamaya person, right? Because they're still trying to stick on to that anandamaya person is Vishnu in the mode of goodness. And so then, so in that definition, technically Vishnu is Jiva. Right? He may be, you know, different Jiva than us, but he's still Jiva. Mm-hmm. So it's still coming from here. So it's different from Brahman. Yes.
In the previous sutras, we mentioned about the Nirvishesh Brahman and the Svavishesh Brahman. So the Svavishesh Brahman, they think it to be Jiva.
The Svavishesh Brahman is, in their ideas, Vishnu, who is the manifesting the form of perfect goodness.
So it's still not Brahman, it's Jiva, they consider. Because...
Yeah, but I'm saying the point is it's still saguna, so that means in their mind it is material.
Mm-hmm. It's material.
So that means it's illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And so illusion comes from what? Brahman or from the Jiva?
From Brahman.
No, it comes from the Jiva.
They are understanding I'm talking about.
Yes, no, but it comes from the Jiva.
It comes from Jiva, yeah. Illusion comes from Jiva.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Jiva comes from illusion.
Yeah.
That's a problem, but
avidya.
Avidya. Who's first? The material energy or the living entity? Yeah, yeah. Well, I could keep him busy. Right? So everybody's got their little, what is it? Call it conundrum or
conundrum.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I never understood that one. How many? Angels can dance on the head of the pin. It all depends how big the angels are, right?
Okay. How big the pin is.
Yeah, how big the pin is, right? You know, very big pin.
One Brahma's pin.
Yeah, yeah, like that, or you know, the Jolly Green Giant's pin, you know, like that, you know.
Relative.
Sorry?
Relative.
It's relative. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so they're trying to say is that it's just another angle to say exactly the same thing that they've said before. But they're just coming in from a different point. So that's why it's all in this Adhikarna. It's all part of the same Adhikarna.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this is more tending towards the Shakta philosophy?
They're an interesting mix. Some are more Shakta, some are more Shaivai, but they're all down at that end. It's all left, you know, so like that. It's all.
One question is if they always you mentioned repeatedly that they always say that Lord Vishnu is Saguna Brahman, the highest.
Yes.
Manifestation of the form of goodness in the material world, and why are they not so interested in worshipping him and they worship more Shiva more often?
That I'm not sure. Do you know any reason? That I think it's because Shiva is obviously not the supreme, but you know, there's definitions that Vishnu is, so I guess it's rivalry.
Hmm.
You know, because demigods are in their own category.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But there's Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi in South India.
Yeah, yeah. In South India, there's a place called Kanchi, and it's divided into two, Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi. So on one side is all Vishnu temples, on the other side is all Shiva temples, and the two don't see eye to eye. Yeah, it's always.
But they're all impersonalists, even though they're worshipping.
No, the other side, those are all the Vaishnavas. Generally, the Sri Vaishnavas are on the one side and all the Shankarites on the other side. So, you know.
So half of them are impersonalists, half of them are.
Yes, yes.
At least they're on the different sides.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's more obvious, yeah. Just seeing you come to the temple and they tell you have to wash your feet. And why? Because you've got Shiva Kanchi on them. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Baladev states it thus. Shamshaya, since Pradhan, Prakriti, is the cause of bliss in Sattvaguna, Prakriti should be Anandamaya. Right. So then, okay, we're saying it comes from somewhere else, but it still must be Prakriti. It can't be that Brahman and the Jiva are separate. Because here there's a separateness that Ananda is coming from somewhere else, so the Jiva and Prakriti are separate. Therefore, it can, would come from Prakriti. Right? So therefore, still it's mundane. But if that's the point, then why even be endeavoring for the Anandamaya? Because if it's all mundane anyway, then...
Well, then you step into Buddhism.
Yeah, well, but they are Buddhists. That's the problem. Like that. Basically, Mayavadis are Buddhists who, for authority of their philosophy, use the Vedas as opposed to the Buddhist scriptures. That's the difference. So they are, you could say, they're Buddhist by philosophy, but they're Vedic by religion. Some extent.
Suchmars called them crypto Buddhists.
Crypto.
Yeah.
Sahutramaj.
Yeah.
Crypto Buddhists.
Yeah.
It means the Mayavadis.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So yes, crypto Buddhists. So, okay. Srila Vyasadeva answers that objection in this sutra. The scriptures affirm that the Supreme Lord, being superconscious, is full of superior desires. By his desire, he created the material world. Hence, he is not a creation of the material mode of goodness. So it's just from different angles they'll try. That's all. Sri Govinda Bhashya. So, kamayata bahu shyama prajayeta. The Lord desired, may I become many, may I produce offspring. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.6.1. From this statement describing how Brahman creates the universe, it can be inferred that Prakriti or Pradhan is not the Anandamaya Purush in the text, since Prakriti is insentient and cannot desire anything. Bhagavatam reference. 1.2.30. In the beginning of the material creation, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, in his transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal energy. So, from the internal energy, that's expanding the external. That's the hope, by his desire. Because if someone wants to, means the living entity wants to deal with the Lord's energy, but the Lord's energy is committed to the Lord. Therefore, a shadow form of that energy is giving to the jivas, because they can't function outside of functioning with the Lord's energy. And so they're going to approach the Lord through his energy. Right? So then instead of going through the natural form, which is the being the outer edge or the of the internal potency, they switch to the external. Just like, how do you call Sandhya? Is it just the end of the day or it's the beginning of the night? Right? So spiritual is the end of the day. Right, so we identify with the day. Material means we identify with the night. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that we switch what it is, but we can't function outside of that. So then the external potency still follows the laws of Krishna, but the manifestations of them are inferior. What you can do with them is less than when they're in their original form of the spiritual. But the point is you are in contact with the Lord, one as his energy, but not external instead of internal, and you're still following his laws, though you may not recognize him as part of the process. Right? So, and you may see as the pious or impious. You follow the laws because you know this is right, or you make up your own laws and then follow those. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, is it correct to say that the internal potency expands as the external potency in two ways? One is as the dull pradhan, and the other as expanding as Mayadevi?
Yes, you could say. Okay. But when we talk about Prakriti, we mean the dead matter. Then Maya, she's the... Because the point is there is the elements of the material energy. So the person is in control of that. Just like the spiritual energy has all its elements, but there's someone in control of that. Yoga Maya controls all the elements. and Mahamaya controls the other, because it's yoga maya. It means you're going to say Swarup Shakti has these two forms. Mm-hmm. So it's not another person, it's just another office.
So that's not at all being addressed here. This is just Pradhan.
Yes, just meaning because they don't know about yoga maya, so how can they actually understand maya? So therefore this is Prakriti. So therefore, the transformation of the Prakriti, then I guess, are due to us, mm-hmm. Because karma explains it. But the point is, why does it work like that? There's the laws and everything like that, the modes. Who controls that? She does. Who controls her? That's Krishna. Like that. So that way, he's transcendental to the modes because he doesn't deal with them. So he's dealing with his internal potency that acts as the external.
Access.
It's just like, let's say, the wife has two offices, two positions of authority. And one she may be dressed one way, the other she's dressed in a different way. Like that. And so if the husband walks into the one, then they interact in the natural. The other week walks in, still she's dressed in that way, but their relationship is still the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. 1231. After creating the material substance, the Lord, Vasudeva, expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. Right? So, in other words, it's the material energy is still based on him, so it can't be the source of Ananda. It's still coming from the Lord. It's his desire, therefore the manifestation, whatever one can gain, that's still coming from him. The potency is him. Right. So, Sutra 1.1.19. Asmin asya chatad yogam cha sasti. Asmin, in the Anandamaya Purusha, asya, of the individual spirit soul. Cha, also, tat, of fearlessness. Yogam, contact. Shasti, the Vedic scriptures teach. Prakriti is not the Anandamaya Purusha because scriptures teach that the jiva attains fearlessness by fixing himself on this Purusha and becomes fearful when detached from him. So when we're attached to Maya, we're Prakriti, we're fearful. And then we're attached to this other, how you say, Purusha, then we are fearless. Mm-hmm. So it can't be the same one. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sutra Prakashita. In this sutra, Vyasadeva continues to refute the notion that Prakriti is the Anandamaya person. Since the Supreme Lord liberates the jiva from matter, how can he be a product of material mode of goodness? Right. How can he free you from something he's not freed from? Right. Means if the guy can open the door to the prison and let you out, means he could walk out anyway. How would he stay in and you can go out? Sri Govindabhasya, the scriptures teach, Shasti, that the jiva has fearlessness when fixed in the Anandamaya Purusha, Asmin, and fear when not fixed in him. This is mentioned in Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.2. When the jiva becomes established in this Lord, who is invisible, without material body, indescribable and independent, in order to become fearless, the jiva becomes fearless, and when he deviates a little, he becomes fearful. So that's 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. How much can you deviate? Yeah, but the point is, it's just a little bit of deviation become fearful. So more deviation, a lot more fearful.
I experience that all the time.
Okay, yeah. So then you can judge the amount of fear is in proportion to the amount of deviation.
Yeah. I know, it works. It's a direct correlation.
Yeah. Okay, this teaching of the scriptures can never apply for Prakriti. Because for Prakriti, the opposite holds true. By detachment from Prakriti, one becomes fearless. By contact with it, one becomes fearful. Therefore, it is concluded that the Anandamaya is not a jiva or Prakriti. Right? Because that's what you're trying to deal with. So that means it is Brahman. Because then if it's Brahman, and that happiness of Brahman is coming from somewhere else, that means the jiva is not Brahman, meaning the whole Brahman. He is Brahman. But they have to be able to, the undiscerned Brahman, he's not that. He is jiva Brahman, within the, you know, discernibility of Brahman. Does that make sense?
How can you say the Prakriti is the source of bliss when it's so obviously giving us so much pain?
because we're thinking, because the point is on this form, but when you go on to back to the original, then they try to say that maybe, because you also see that in, who is it? I think Vaisheshika brings that point in, is that when we want to know what is the position of everything, then this whole material phenomena manifest and we become involved. And then when we're satisfied that just the Prakriti as it is good, then everything goes peaceful and balances back to the way it was. And so then basically you could say all the six schools of Vedic philosophy, then they think everything's coming from Prakriti. The jiva's coming from Prakriti and happy, everything's coming from there. And then there's something beyond, liberation's beyond that. But it's only the Vaishnavas that point out the actual position, that the jiva is coming from what's beyond, and happiness comes from beyond. So everything's from beyond. And then just here, this is functioning according to the Lord's energy. So,
yeah.
Yes?
It means the six schools, they think that everything comes from Prakriti, including the jiva, not necessarily.
I would think including the jiva.
Including the jiva. Yeah.
I would think so.
Six, all of them?
Yeah.
Even Vedanta?
Maya. Means that's the Mayavadi's Vedanta. When we're saying here, that, in other words, when you talk about the six schools as bogus, that means Vedanta is Shankara. When you talk about the six schools and then there's Vedanta, which is proper, and then five that are not, that means then you're talking about Vyasadeva. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Bhagavatam verse reference 10:87-35. Sages free from false pride live on this earth by frequenting the sacred pilgrimage sites and those places where the Supreme Lord displayed his pastimes. Because such devotees keep your lotus feet within their hearts, the water that washes their feet destroys all sins. Anyone who even once turns his mind towards you, the ever blissful soul of all existence, no longer dedicates himself to serving family life at home, which simply robs a man of his good qualities.
Yeah. Hate those verses.
It's also prayers of the Vedas
personified. Yeah, personified, yeah. So now, here is this one we're used to hearing. Right? But what its point is making is, therefore, the soul is not the source of happiness, and material energy is not the source of happiness. The Lord is the source of happiness. Does that make sense? Yeah. But so in other words, that Vedanta philosophical point is what's being made here, but it's putting into the practical for us. Right, the Mayavadis, then they just get stuck on one point they're trying to prove. But in actuality, they are, you know, trying to enjoy themselves and their position and what they're doing through their activities and everything else. Right, the respect that they're getting, the knowledge they have, the renunciation, the, you know, all these different things. Okay. So it just continues with the...
Yeah, page 14.
Okay. So Adhikarana is 7. Okay, so that finished the
Anandamaya
Vyasa Adhikarana. Okay. So now this is sutra reference 1120 and 21. So two sutras are this Adhikarana. Adhikarana Prakashika. Adhikarana 7 demonstrates that the golden person seen within the sun and the person seen within the eye, mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad 1.6, are not some exalted individual soul, but the supreme Brahman. Because they're taking it, if you exalted soul, as we mentioned before, they take Vishnu in the mode of goodness as the most exalted soul. Right? Otherwise, why, if you are talking about yourself as someone very exalted, but within a form, why would they refer to themselves as Narayan? Right? They refer themselves as someone else. As, you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Does that make sense?
So they're claiming themselves to be in the topmost goodness.
Yes. So like that. So they do recognize his position, but they don't want to recognize it because they are that position. So they're all equals. But the funny part is if all the sannyasis are Narayan, and Narayan is Narayan, but they don't mind seeing the sannyasis, but they won't go see Narayan. So that means there's some envy is there. There's something wrong.
Perhaps he's not acting as a sannyasi because he has his consort. So.
Could be. And so they're something bothers them. Okay. The Supreme Lord is described in the Vedas as the Lord of the sun and the eye. The Vedas do not describe the jiva as such. Sutra 21 clarifies the distinction between Brahman and jiva by distinguishing between A, the presiding deity of the sun, and B, the Supreme Lord or Antayami residing within it. Okay, footnote 10. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates on the spiritual significance of a sun in a Bhagavatam purport. Of the sun. Okay. The sun represents the path of liberation. The sun is a guiding deity on the path of liberation. The sun is the three Vedas. Shruti says, Shaisha, Trayi, Eva, Vidya, Tapati. The sun shines as the three Vedas. Satapata Brahmana. 10.5.2.2. The sun is the place for worship. Brahmana Dishnyam. Shruti says, Ya eshon tar adityo hiranyamaya purusha. The golden form of the Lord resides within the sun. The sun is the door to liberation since it is on the Devayana, the path of liberation. It is immortality, or heavenly, since it is a pure planet based on piety. It is death because it personifies time. Right? So all these different aspects of Krishna. So that's why then they always refer to as the sun, how he's the sun. Right? It means he's everything, but you give an example of something prominent so you can relate to it. Because if I just say Krishna is everything, so what do I think about? So he gives a prominence, and then from there, then you start to be able to see.
Mm-hmm. The Surya Narayan temple, or central
in Mayavar. Oh, yes, yeah. Surya Narayan, yeah. So you see here, you can see he's in the sun, the path of liberation, he's in the eye, but how is he in the eye? By contemplating what you've heard from Shastra, you apply it when you realize, then you can see. So then he's within the eye. So the point is he is the vision, he is Vijnanamaya. Right? Does that make sense? So if he's the path of liberation, he's the process to get there, but he's also the revelation or the realization to be able to follow it. Like that.
And that's also Sudarshan.
Sudarshan.
He's in Amkeet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's Ambarish.
Yes.
The Ambarish pastime. Well, that's ninth. Okay. So, okay. Good. Some up-and-coming attractions.
This year.
Yeah, that's right. It's all this year. Starting in a few days. Yeah. No, that's 8th. Summary of Adhikarana 7. Vishaya. The Chandogya Upanishad explains, within the sun globe is a golden person, with golden hair, a golden beard, and a body golden from his fingernails to all his limbs. Within the eyes, a wonderful person may be seen. The Rig Sama and Yajra Vedas glorify him. He is identical with the golden person who resides in the sun. Shamshaya, so this is the doubt. This is an individual spirit soul who by great piety has attained this eminent position. Or is this the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears as the all-pervading Supersoul? Then their explanation, their reason, right? So this is, the Purva Paksha is their Hetu?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this person has a form and various human-like features, he must be a pious spirit soul. By his piety and spiritual knowledge, he has become able to become the great controller of demigods and human beings, who fulfills their desires and grants them the results of their actions. So Siddhanta, then the proper conclusion. Srila Vyasadeva addresses these views in the following sutra. Antastad dharmo pare shat. The person within, the sun and the eye, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Vedic literature explained that his nature fits the description of the Lord. So that means he is there, is a person, you can actually see him. Because otherwise, why mention he is within the eye? Because you're seeing the Lord. So that means it's him. So when you're seeing him, that's non-different from the Lord. Doesn't make sense? Means the Lord is there, he can be seen. Because what's the Mayavadi's point? When we talk about, we go back in the earlier Adikarnas, is that the Supreme, you can't see, you can't. There's nothing, you can't describe like that. So the Brahman that they're talking about is the Nirguna Brahman. But we're Vyasadeva is making the point, no, we're talking about Saguna Brahman. Saguna is the higher, Nirguna is the lesser. So Nirguna means he's not attached, he's not connected with material energy. Saguna means he's connected with the spiritual energy. So the point is if he has a form that can be seen, then that means he is in that position. Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh, that was it? No, that's the... Oh, that was the... Okay, the... Okay, I was going to say that. Okay. Antastad dharmo pare shat. Anta, within, tat, of him, dharma, nature, upadeshat, because of the instruction. Paramatma is the person in the eye and the sun, because the teachings describe the Lord's qualities. Sutra Prakashika. In this sutra, Vyasa argues that the person within the sun and the person within the eye must refer to the Supersoul and not the Jiva. Right, they always will, why will they always refer back to the Jiva? Because their point is if you can see it, experience it with the senses, describe it, it has to be Jiva, it can't be Brahman. That's their whole concept. So it doesn't matter what it is, it must all be Jiva. And so then if it's Jiva, then it can be them. So hey, like that. So. Okay.
I don't quite understand in their concept. Is Jiva material or spiritual?
Material. Yeah, that's the whole thing. So, basically they're working on the principle is that if you can describe it, it's Jiva. And then within Jivas you have all these gradations, but the point is it's Jiva. So therefore, then they can be that. Does that make sense? So the sun god is Jiva, and they can be that. Therefore, they can refer to each other as Narayan. So, you understand? So they're taking two different things, equating them as the same, and therefore, does that make sense? So, A is there. They're Jivas. C, then Narayan's a Jiva. So then, by that, A equals C. They are Narayan.
of like saying you're a president before you got elected.
Yeah, but the point is you're saying, no, the president's a human being, I'm a human being, so I'm the president.
Yeah, yeah, it's like saying
that. Yeah, so that's that. It's a common fallacious argument. You know, we'll take two things that aren't equal and then find a generic quality and say, you know, how you say, lead is metal and gold is metal, so therefore lead and gold are the same. So they'll do that. You know, just like Western culture, you know, is a culture, an ethnicity. The Vedic culture is Indian, so it's an ethnicity. So therefore, they're equal. You understand? It's a common logical fallacy. So they're just the best at it. You know, they've been at it for the longest.
False equivalent.
Why call each other Narayan? Why not call each other potential Narayan?
That would be no, that doesn't quite cut it. It's also too long. Yeah, it's too long to say. You know, so,
you know. PN.
Yeah, yeah. So therefore they just...
And we all potentially could become the president of the United States.
Yeah, but the thing is that we're not.
You're American.
The problem is you have the wrong hairstyle. I'm sorry. it's all in the hair.
And then they'd have to say pee-pee, potential president.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, in this sutra, Vyasadeva argues that the person within the sun and the person in the eye must refer to the supersoul, not the jiva. This is because the person's description does not fit the jiva. Free from sin, free from karma, the fulfiller of living entities' desires, the awarder of the fruits of action, the object of worship of the living entities, right? So it doesn't match what the jivas are, right? But it matches the Supreme Lord, because he's always in that transcendental position. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Shugovindabhasya, Vishaya. Ataya son tara adityo hiranyamaya purusho drishyate. He who is to be seen in the sun is a golden person, having a golden mustache. Oh, we're already past the golden moment of the break. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right. And so with this, we'll leave you to meditate on the golden mustache.
I've been all over India, and there's only one place in India where I ever saw Krishna with a mustache. In Aditi.
Yes,
and
yes.
In Madurai.
Yes. Madurai, not in Chennai, no?
In Chennai.
Yeah. No. He says, somehow or another there he has a mustache.
It's funny, the sun god has a mustache. That's in a beard.
But it's a golden mustache.
I guess some form of the Lord has to have a beard.